We're continuing this summer with our sermon series on faith, hope, and love. And we are, for the last couple of weeks, been talking about love, or I guess last week we started talking about love after spending a few weeks on faith and hope. This morning we're thinking about the test of love. There are times in our lives when our faith is tested. We talked about that a little bit, but you can look at maybe the biblical example of Abraham when he was called upon to sacrifice his son Isaac. It was an extreme test of faith. But for all of us, there are times when our faith is tested. There are times when our hope is tested. We talked about that a few weeks ago. We looked at the passage in 1 Thessalonians where the Christians in Thessalonica were asking Paul about an issue that they were dealing with. It was a test of hope for them. What happens when a person dies? Does he or she immediately go to heaven, or is there some kind of waiting period? And what happens to them until Christ returns? It was a test of hope. There are times in all of our lives when our hope is tested. But this morning, we want to think about the daily, hourly, minute-by-minute challenge, which we're calling this morning as the test of love. Our willingness and our commitment to share God's love with other people is the test of love. That's what John writes about in his letter. You've already heard one passage from 1 John this morning. I want to invite you to hear our text for the sermon. It follows the passage that we read earlier in the service. So now listen as we continue hearing from John about the test of love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who has been born of God and knows God, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. It's obvious as we read through the passage Kim read for us a little while ago in chapter 3, and also now this text in chapter 4, that John's theme is love. The word love appears 13 times in the verses that I just read. If you combine that with the verses that we read earlier that Kim read for us, we're looking at 18, 19 times in just those few verses of John's first letter to his friends. His theme is the theme of love. But as we read these words, we can almost hear the questions that his friends have been asking John, in other words, that prompted him to write what we have read this morning. It seems one of the questions John's friends were asking him is the same question, the exact same question that human beings have asked since we've been here on earth, since we've been created. In fact, it's one of the first questions human beings ever asked God. It was asked by Cain. It was mentioned earlier in our scripture reading. You remember the story. After Cain murdered his brother Abel, God comes searching for him, and God says to Cain, "Cain, where is your brother Abel?" Now, God, of course, already knew what had happened, but God is questioning and wants to see how Cain will respond to this question. Cain, where is your brother, Abel? Cain answers, I don't know, God. And then Cain asks the question that we as human beings have asked ever since. Am I my brother's keeper? Have you ever asked that question? It's kind of more of a statement than a question, isn't it? Kind of seems rhetorical in nature. To ask the question seems to imply the statement, I'm not responsible for other people. I've got enough to deal with in my own life. I've got enough with me and my family, the friends, those are around me. And Cain says, where is Abel? I don't know. Go ask Abel where he is. I'm not responsible for another person, am I? And it seems John's friends were asking this question. And it's the same question that we continue to ask. Are we responsible for other people? Do we have to show love to those around us? These questions are the basic questions of the test of love. The resounding answer to Cain in Genesis, though it's not explicitly stated, is yes, you are responsible for your brother Abel. The resounding answer is the same in 1 John as he writes to his friends who are asking this very same question. Yes, you are responsible for others. Christians are responsible for their brothers and their sisters. In fact, John says this is the true test of whether or not the love of God is really in your life. This is a test of love. In other words, to share that love, that's exactly what it means to be a Christian. The tragedy in our world today is that it seems so many do not take the responsibility of loving others. Today, it seems that our world turns to a me mentality. It seems the message in our world often today is, don't ask me to be responsible for someone else. That's not my responsibility. I have enough to deal with in my own life. A classic example of this is a story you may have heard. It happened many years ago in New York City. Late one evening, a woman was brutally attacked and harmed in a dark alley. She screamed for help constantly throughout the entire terrible ordeal, an experience that lasted some 15 to 20 minutes. But no one came to her aid, no one came to help her. Later, when police investigated people who lived around the area, in the police notes, they found 28 people who reported they had heard the woman screaming and crying, but decided not to help. They all said some version of the same story. I didn't want to get involved. I didn't think it was my responsibility. Just a few years ago in a different city, late one night again, there was a minor traffic accident. A young woman bumped the car in front of her accidentally. The car was driven by a young man. He became irate that someone had hit his car. He jumped out of his vehicle, went back to the car behind him, pulled the young woman out of the car, and began to beat her. She managed to get away when he went back to his car to get the metal tire rod in his trunk so that he could beat her. He chased her down the street while a crowd of people began to gather around watching all that was happening. And the crowd began to cheer for the young man. In fact, they cheered as this young woman ran to a bridge and jumped over to her death to save herself from the brutal beating. We might ask, why does stuff like that happen in our world? Where is love and compassion? Where is the sense that I am responsible for helping someone else? We could say, well, those situations are extreme. And yes, they are extreme, but they happen. We could also spend time this morning asking, why is it that some people don't show love to others? Why is it that some people don't take compassion and a sense of responsibility? But you know, here's what's interesting to me. The Bible and Jesus never ask us to wonder why someone else doesn't show love. The Bible and Jesus never ask us to ponder the question why someone else does or does not do something. Jesus and the Bible and our faith demand that we ask these tough questions of ourselves. The real question is not why does the world not show love? The real question we face with the test of love is how do we show love? How do we fare on a daily basis with the test of love? Our text this morning is very clear. We are responsible for our sisters and our brothers. We might not like to think that. We might buy into the message from our world that we're not, but the text is very clear. We are. Now, we do a lot to demonstrate our love for others. We do a lot to show God's grace and love in this world. We support missions. We give our money to the church and to local charities. We go on and we support mission trips to other places to help people in need. We work with local projects here in our community, even beyond our walls here at our church, to show God's love to other people. We write cards to people who are sick. We visit and care for those who are in need. On and on we could go. There are many, many things we do to show God's love to others. But there's a corresponding truth. And I think if we are honest, we all know that there is more that we could do. Sometimes we find ourselves in the shoes of two of the individuals in the story of the Good Samaritan. Sometimes we pass by those who are lonely, who are hurting, who are in need of care. Sometimes as they lie on the side of the road, beaten and wounded by life, if we're honest, it's much easier to turn our heads, to close our eyes and our ears to the sights and the sounds of those who are in need than it is to do something. Every day of our lives, we are surrounded by people who need the love of God. The children who live on our street. The teenagers who pass by after school with not much to do that afternoon. The young family who is living next door trying somehow to manage a house and jobs and little ones. The middle-aged couple who are sending their kids off to college for the first time. The elderly widow or widower who lives on the street with little to no family around. There are people all around us every day of our lives who, in their face, in our relationship, face us with the test of love. And John says, here is the test of love. Here it is. If you can help someone who is in need, but you don't, if you have no concern or care for that person, if you don't act, then here's the question. How is the love of God in you? Is the love of God in you? We know as Christians, we have the greatest news the world has ever heard. We know that we have a relationship with the great physicians. We know that there is one who can help to cure the ills and the ails of society and of life and of individuals who are hurting. We know about true love. We have experienced true love. We have received true love. And that love is given to us to be shared. Maybe we think sometimes, as I said before, we have enough problems and concerns in our own lives. It's too much to take on the burdens of someone else. why that simply would be too much. We think to ourselves, it's all I can do to care for me and those around me. To think about taking on the burdens of someone else, that's too heavy for me. It's too heavy. In 1918, a little over 100 years ago, there was a boy named Howard Loomis. He was abandoned by his mother at Father Flanagan's home for boys. The home had just opened a year earlier in 1917. Howard had polio and he was too much for his mother to care for. So she brought him to Father Flanagan's home for boys, and he came and he wore heavy leg braces and he couldn't walk. Walking was difficult for him, especially going up and down steps. But soon Father Flanagan began to notice that several of the older boys in the home began carrying Howard up and down the steps. Day after day, they carried him up and down, up and down. One day, Father Flanagan was there, and Reuben Granger was carrying Howard down the steps. And Father Flanagan asked him, "Reuben, is it hard for you to carry Howard?" And Reuben replied with the phrase that we all probably have heard by now, "He ain't heavy, Father. He's my brother." We know that part of the story, maybe, but the story doesn't end there. A couple of decades later, in 1943, Father Flanagan was paging through a copy of Ideal magazine when he saw an image of an older boy carrying a younger boy on his back. The caption read, "He ain't heavy, mister. He's my brother." Immediately, Father Flanagan was reminded of a photo of Reuben carrying Howard in the house. In fact, it was a photo also that had been taken out at a picnic later that day where Reuben was carrying Howard. So Father Flanagan wrote the magazine and he requested permission to use the image and the quote to brand his place, Home for Boys. The magazine agreed, and that became the motto that defined this place of care. Now, decades later, that motto is the best description of what boys and girls at Boys Town learn about the importance of caring for each other and having someone to care about them. See, "He Ain't Heavy" is relevant far beyond the phrase, far beyond the song. We all know at some point in our lives we have needed to be carried by someone else. Metaphorically, maybe literally, we have needed to be carried by someone else. And at some point in our lives, we know we have probably carried someone else who we came across who needed help. We are human. We stumble. We fall. We look to others in our time of need. Wouldn't it be a great motto for Christians too? "That person's not heavy. That person's my family. That person's my brother. That person's my sister. There is nothing more important for me to do in this world than to carry my brother or my sister when they are in need." Here's what John says to us this morning. John reminds us, one day we will all stand before God and we will be asked, "How did you do with the test of love? How did you care for your brother or your sister?" And we might say, "I don't know. I had so much going on in my life that I was just trying to manage life myself. What was I really responsible for my brother or my sister?" Or maybe the question will come to us, "How are you able to help so many people? How are you able to carry that heavy load?" And we can say, "God, you told us. You told us to love our brother and our sister. And when we did that, we discovered they ain't heavy. They're family. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, it is so easy in this world to get caught up in the affairs of our own lives, to keep our heads down, focused on only the things right around us. Lord, you remind us today to keep our heads up, to look around us for those who are in need, to reach out to our brother and to our sister and to those who need to know your love. And God, you have given us that love so we could share it with others. Give us faith, hope, love and courage, that we might be your feet and your hands of love in this world. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.